This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Every Monday, and we are ready to go. We have quarterbacks to talk about and more, because frankly, the entire league is all about quarterbacks. Will Brinson, Pick Six podcast moderator, CBSSports.com, man about town. Sir, we are 2 weeks away, right? Two weeks from Thursday is the opener? Do I have this right?
That sounds right.
2 weeks from Thursday is the opener.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
It's a Thursday after Labor Day, right?
That's how I do it.
I have no idea.
I have no idea what day it is, even though it's. I know now it's a Monday. All right. I mean, nobody.
I only know it's Monday because I'm talking to you.
Perfect. I'm glad you do. All right. Let's talk about Baker Mayfield. Don't we all think that this decision was made when they executed the trade?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, Baker. You know, when you make the trade, you're banking on the fact that Baker's going to come in and win and like just make it obvious that he's not going to allow Sam Darnold to make it a conversation, and he did pretty much just that. I mean, Baker's been the best quarterback. They believe Baker has the highest ceiling. They believe Sam Darnold has a lower floor. Matt Corral's out for the season.
Yeah.
And PJ Walker is, PJ Walker. I mean, that's not, I'm not, dogging him, but I mean, like he's a backup and Matt Rhule really likes him. But yeah, I mean, it was Baker's job to lose the second they dealt for him.
Yeah. Look, I think based on what we saw against the Commandos last Saturday afternoon, it was kind of a draw. I mean, both quarterbacks were good, and both quarterbacks, I think you could make the argument that Sam was even better than Baker. He did have a second crack at it, but I think the Sam looked fine. But ultimately, all Baker had to do, I think, was just not screw it up. Like, just be you. Don't make a mess of this, and you'll be the starter. And that's pretty much what he did. I mean, even the two practices against the Patriots last week, everything I heard about those two practices said that both quarterbacks made mistakes and both quarterbacks did some good things. But like, that's why I just think that this thing was preordained, that they were always going with Baker unless they had no choice.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing too is that, and granted, Sam Darnold's picking up a new offense too, because Ben McAdoo's a new offensive coordinator, et cetera. But like, Baker's doing this on really short notice.
Sure.
And I think that goes a long way for a coaching staff that is extremely desperate to try and win football games to save jobs. Because I mean, I don't know what the number is, but and maybe it's not a specific number. Maybe it's how the season plays out. Starting 3-0 is probably the worst case scenario for Matt Rhule last year,
right?
Because you lose all but two of your final, 15 or 17, 14 games. And, that will wear on an impatient earner pretty quickly. And I think, when they traded for Baker, the idea was, this guy can come in and just raise the floor and allow us to, be, if everything clicks right, a potentially fringe playoff team. And that's not me saying the Panthers are going to the playoffs. That's me saying the Panthers have a ceiling of a, quote, potentially fringe playoff team, which is not really a compliment per se.
Yeah, I guess fringe playoff team, because there's so many playoff teams. Right.
Potential
fringe playoff team. Yeah. Look, I think if their offensive line works out, then they could threaten 8 wins. That is a potential fringe playoff team. Of course, they need Ike Ekwonu to not be a turnstile at left tackle. It was not good. It was the second game in a row. It wasn't good. I'm not saying I'm not concerned, because I am concerned, because he wouldn't be the first left tackle to really, really struggle in year one. And I think the only way that they're a good offensive line is if he is playing left tackle. I think they're a bottom third of the league offensive line if it has to be Brady Christensen at left tackle, but because I think Christensen could really help him at guard. I think he could make their line good. But, that was Look, well, Jeff Judon is good. So,
Matt Judon.
Why do I call him Jeff? I have no idea why.
I picture Jeff Judon as like a pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates in the mid 90s.
I think you might be right.
Or no, like the maybe 87 because he was on that wood grain Topps card. I'm with you 100% on the offensive line call though. I mean, I think, you know, it would be devastating if they had to move Brady Christensen to left tackle and Icky, I guess, kick him inside.
I don't think it's kicking him inside. I think it's starting either Jordan or Davis or somebody else. And look, they didn't play their ones except for Ekwonu, but the offensive line didn't look great.
Well, I mean, the thing about Icky is that, you know, and he said this. I mean, I heard him say it at NC State's pro day. He's like, you know, I gotta work on my pass set.
Yes.
And he does. And like, there's a huge, huge, huge leap from playing left tackle at NC State in the ACC and playing left tackle in the NFL. I mean, I'm not saying that he won't be good at it. I'm not saying he can't pull it off. But I mean, we knew. I mean, people who followed him closely knew that, you know, like his biggest skill set is getting downhill in the run game, getting that second level, yes, and just burying dudes. And one of the problems with playing for the Panthers is that in theory, the Panthers will not be winning most of the time during football games, which means that you will be dropping back more often than the running back will be running forward. Now, of course, if they were a potential fringe playoff team, perhaps that changes. But I think it's Icky's pass set, you know, the pass pro is, it's a hard thing to do. And I don't think him struggling in the preseason doesn't mean he can't be good year one. It doesn't mean he won't be good down the road, but it is certainly a red flag if you're thinking about, all right, what did the Panthers need to have happen to, you know, sort of try to make that leap to be an 8-win team or potential fringe playoff team.
Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, is with us as he is every Monday. That's how Will knows what day it is. All right, so let me ask this question of you, sir. The Baltimore Ravens, I just need a yes or no here. They want to keep Lamar Jackson as their starting quarterback, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, if you want to keep Lamar Jackson as your starting quarterback, why are you offering him a contract, which admittedly is more than Kyler Murray's, but isn't Deshaun Watson's? Why are you messing with this?
Well, I mean, I think that I think what you have is that the Ravens are attempting to walk back the mistake that the Browns made.
They might not be able to though.
Right, of course not. It's a mess. I think it was Jay Glazer reported it. It's like the Watson deal messes everything up.
Because it does.
You know, we talked about this, and I mean, not to get into like the nuts and the bolts of like the old CBA rules, but if you give somebody a contract and you have $230 million guaranteed, you have $250 million fully guaranteed in that contract, you have to put $250 million in escrow.
Right.
Now, that may be like, oh well, that's not hard for David Tepper. No, it's not. It's less. Other owners are less enthusiastic about doing it. For instance, I really doubt that the Bengals and the Chargers like the idea of putting that kind of cash in escrow. There's, you know, notably frugal teams.
Right.
I would think that the Ravens also would not like to do that. And I would also think that these owners who just recently met at their owners meeting to approve the Rob Walton, as Broncos owner. I mean, these owners talk a lot. Like they're all buddies. They're all business pals. They all, you know, have different little text threads going on. And I'm sure there's been talk of, we have to figure out how to walk back this mess that Jimmy Haslam made by giving Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract, particularly given the circumstances surrounding him. Because as you suggest, there's no way that Lamar Jackson should take less than Deshaun. Deshaun Watson got a fully guaranteed contract. Like, I am the former MVP. Mm-hmm. That guy just got suspended 11 games and didn't even play last year.
Except that, and the reason I say this, like, I think in a perfect world, you're right and the Ravens are right. But that world stopped being perfect when Jimmy Haslam had no choice because Watson didn't want to go to Cleveland. The only reason Watson's in Cleveland is because of that contract. And he went, oh, okay, you just bought my affection. So
he's like, you can't possibly be that stupid to give me that contract, but if you are, I'm fine, I'll play for you.
Right. So fast forward to Lamar Jackson, who seems 100% willing to play on the franchise tag next year and the following year and maybe a third, in which the money would be more than half of the $230 million guaranteed over the first 3 years. Why can't Baltimore see the future? You'd be better off, even if you guaranteed him $250 million and just extended the deal for like 7 or 8 years, so there's dummy years and lower the cap hit. I mean, you have to be more creative if you want to keep Lamar Jackson as your quarterback, which is why I asked the question that way in the beginning.
I get it. I mean, it's the same thing. But that's what makes it so difficult is that. So we talked earlier this offseason when the crazy wide receiver trades were going down with Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams, how DeAndre Hopkins' contract, which had been like redone in a weird way that causes average annual value to spike up, had thrown a weird anomaly in the wide receiver market. Well, Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams, when they get to their new teams, or before they get to the new teams, are not willing to take less than DeAndre Hopkins because they believe that they're the best. And this is sort of like a alpha male, I'm the best at what I do. I want the most money. I want the best contract. I need to be the number one paid guy, right? And so Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill were not willing to take less than what Hopkins is making on average annual value. So their agents created a bunch of fluff mess in their contracts to get them above that. So that way it looked like they were being paid more than Hopkins, even though a lot of it is like funny money, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Lamar Jackson doesn't have an agent. So it comes down to like a very simple math. He's like, hey, look, that contract Deshaun Watson has is just very simple. It's here's the amount, and I'm getting paid all of it, and there's no bells and whistles,
right?
And I don't have an agent, so I like that idea a lot better than whatever you're proposing.
Sure,
you know, that makes it really difficult. And you also be like, look, like you guys say you want me to be your quarterback. I mean, would you rather have me or Deshaun Watson? And you're like, well, obviously you know, Lamar. And he's like, well, then pay me more than Deshaun Watson. So I think if that is truly the case, then it is going to be tough for them to get a deal done. And I think the franchise tag is almost certainly in play. I mean, at this point, we're getting down to the bare bones for time-wise for Lamar.
Like I said, he seems incredibly willing to do that, and that is dangerous for Baltimore. All right, when we come back, I want to going to ask you about three quarterbacks, two teams. This is not a joke. This is not an internet meme. Three quarterbacks, two teams with Will Brinson next.
Over the crossbar! The Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast. It is Monday. That means we're talking to Will Brinson. We help him keep his calendar straight. He joins us every Monday here on the Adam Gold Show. All right, I want to get to a couple of other things before we run out of time. We got about 5.5 or so minutes left. I mentioned two quarterbacks or three quarterbacks, two teams. Let's start with Trey Lance. I didn't see a lot of it. What I did see with from Lance was a quarterback that looked like he spent the first year pretty much watching Jimmy Garoppolo wisely. He looked like he was pretty much in command. And Kyle Shanahan has a team that can be really good, maybe even better than they were a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be and look, this is what you sign up for with Trey Lance is, you know, you're going to have some higher highs than you could possibly get with Jimmy Garoppolo. And you're going to have some, you know, maybe lower lows or just maybe a little more variance or a lot more variance. And Jimmy Garoppolo is, like, I think an underrated quarterback. I mean, he definitely makes his fair share of mistakes. You know what I mean? And he's had some bad mistakes. So I'm not trying to say he's, you know, infallible. But certainly his floor is, you know, his floor is just a little bit higher, but his ceiling is completely capped, whereas Trey Lance has, like, unlimited upside. And I've been trying to say that, I think Trey Lance at 40-1 to win the MVP is a decent bet. Maybe it's down to 30-1, whatever it is now. But, like, if I'm not trying to make an apples-to-apples comparison, but you have a former first-round pick who sat out, you know, traded up in the draft to get him, sat out of the season so the veteran could play and learn the offense, working with a brilliant play caller, with a schematic approach to football that makes it easy for the quarterback to get open reads, that gets guys into space, that has a history of working well with quarterbacks. And, like, I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but why can't it be kind of similar?
Yeah.
I mean, Trey Lance has enormous upside in terms of what he can be as a player. And so Kyle Shanahan, look at all the quarterbacks that he's worked with. I mean, Trey Lance is probably the most – I don't want to say most talented, but, like, you know, Matt Ryan had an incredible season with Kyle Shanahan, but, you know, just like Lance has the most upside of any quarterback he's probably ever worked with. And just in terms of, as an OC. And I think you're just going to see, like, you saw what Jimmy Garoppolo would do. He, like, this offense gets guys into just easy throws.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't make it difficult on the quarterback. And so I have high hopes for Lance.
What I mean, obviously, Kyle Shanahan had no doubts at all about turning the team over. There was no competition. Jimmy G was like, you're the backup, basically. Here's the thing about Garoppolo.
I mean, I don't know if you read that Peter King article, but it's basically like Jimmy G just throws by himself on a separate field all day. Like, he's not even practice with
that. I mean, they're going to get rid of him. Here's the thing that I don't. That kind of bothered me about the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. Well, the Browns, if you want to win, you got to go out and get Jimmy Garoppolo. You said a couple of minutes ago that Jimmy G was underrated. I actually think that having watched Garoppolo enough, like, to me, he's a poor man's Kirk Cousins. He's sort of Trent Dilfer. He's sort of
Brad Johnson.
Yeah, another guy whose name I wrote down, Brad Johnson. I wrote B. Johnson down. So, like, he's okay. I think if the rest of your team is really set, then I think he can put you in positions for him to not beat you. But Jimmy G does dumb things on a regular basis.
Andy Dalton, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo. These are guys that are not going to elevate, like Andrew Luck took, you know, bad stuff around him. Peyton Manning could take, you know, have nothing around. And I'm not saying that they always had nothing around. They had good weapons. But it's like, you know, these elite-level quarterbacks can elevate the talent around them. Those guys need the talent to be elevated around them so they can succeed.
Right. If I were Cleveland, unless I was a team that is simply an operator away from getting to a Super Bowl, I would not be interested. I just wouldn't. All right, let me ask you about Jordan Love. Again, I didn't see a ton, but what I saw, I thought there were some nice things that Jordan Love did. And we know that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback for at least one more year, maybe two. But did Jordan Love maybe give some fans a glimpse of the future?
I don't think fans, maybe make fans of another team. Like, I don't know how long they can keep him. Like, they're going to run through his entire contract. before Aaron Rodgers retires at this rate. And, you know, Rodgers is a Packer for life. I mean, it obviously depends on how long Rodgers wants to play for where Jordan Love ends up going. But, yeah, I mean, it's important, too, that if Jordan Love ends up staying with the Packers, that he shows this to them, because otherwise you're going to have to, you have to decide on your fifth-year option. You know, you have right. to decide, are we going to franchise tag this guy? Are we going to give this guy a contract while Aaron Rodgers is still playing? Like, I think that when they took Jordan Love, I didn't think it was a great. Nobody thought it was a great pick,
and certainly not Aaron Rodgers.
Right, but like really, the biggest justification for the Jordan Love selection at this point is that like it pissed off Aaron Rodgers.
they motivated Aaron Rodgers. So look, right. but if Love looked good, and we're gonna have to leave it here. Love looked good. Maybe they can. Move him, and get a wide receiver that Aaron Rodgers will like. Will Brinson, you're the best, man. I will see you next week, sir.
Bye, buddy. See you next week, Adam.
You got it. It'll be Monday, because that's how Will knows what day it is.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.